Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath to you, and we welcome all those who are listening on our radio station today and those who are on the internet watching our service today. We welcome you. We are glad that you're with us today, worshiping with us, and we hope that you will have a blessed, happy Sabbath today. And as we begin this service today, I would invite you, wherever you're at, if you're not driving, I would invite you to bow your head with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the presence and power of your Holy Spirit today, that as we open your word, you would open to us the truth of what your word has to say to us today. May it touch our hearts, guide us, and empower us with your spirit, and shower your grace upon each one of us as we listen to you speak to us, because we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38 that we've read for our scripture reading today, says that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And then saith he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. The multitude were scattered, as you see in verse number 36. They felt that they had no shepherd leading them. They were just kind of wandering around, milling about, with no purpose, no direction. And Jesus had compassion on them. And the crowds that he spoke to in verse number 35, he went about to the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. He was doing personal evangelistic ministry. Isn't that great? You know, we think about evangelism. We think about witnessing for the Lord. Oftentimes, we think about the person who is standing in the pulpit preaching. But really, our evangelism starts with us personally, speaking to somebody about who Jesus is and what he's done for us in our life. We all have a story. I can think of a story, especially, I mean, I have a bunch of them in my ministry that I've performed for the Lord. But I have one that really stands out to me. There was a person who, years ago when I was in another district, I looked on the records and there was a person there that hadn't been to church in a long time. And so I called to make an appointment and the person said, well, I'm not ready for that. Call me back in a couple of weeks. So 2 or 3 weeks went by and I called again and the person said, yeah, come over on such and such a date and time. I did. I met the people and I'd never met them before. And the wife was a member of the church and the husband was not. And I started Bible studies with the couple. And I think it was in around lesson number 6 or 7. I made an invitation at the end of the lesson for them to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they both did that. We studied on in the lesson and I could see the transformation taking place in their hearts and lives. I remember when we got to a point where there was a time for surrendering of some things in their life that was, I'm sure the Lord wasn't happy with. And I saw them make that profession of faith, making that surrender. The lady was smoking. She knew it wasn't healthy. She knows that it wasn't what God wanted in her life. And so I said, well, would you like to make a change and stop all that? She said, I would like to, but I just don't know if I can do it. I said, well, do you believe that the Lord could give you power to do that? And she said, yeah, I believe that. So I said, okay, go get all of your cigarettes, your ashtrays, your lighters, the coupons that you've been saving off your cartons of cigarettes. You bring all of those here and put them on the table here, and we're going to pray for you. And so it took her a while to gather all that stuff up in her house. She brought her there and piled it all up on the table. And we had prayer for her. And praise God, she was able to put all of that away. When she put it on the table and prayed for it, that was the last day she smoked. This lady had had postpartum depression with the last child that she had. She hadn't been to church in 29 years. She was on so many medications, she couldn't keep track of them. Her husband had to schedule it all out and tell her when she was to take her medication. She had so many of them. And the problem of it was is that the more medication she took, the sicker she got. She was so disoriented that if she walked out of her house and walked down to the end of the street, she didn't know how to get back home. In fact, that was the case. The neighbors would have to call her husband to come get her because she couldn't figure out how to get back to her house. She was going to a psychologist who was helping her with all of the emotional issues she was facing and the depression and everything. But you know, when she gave her heart to Jesus, there was a transformation. She didn't just speak the words, friends. There was actually a change that came over her from the Spirit of God living in her heart. There was a transformation that took place. I could see what was happening in her life. And her husband, I would go to the church sometimes, and I'd see them over by the school, walking around the church and the school, and they would be witnessing to people in the neighborhood that before she wouldn't come out of the house hardly. And now God has brought such a transformation. She was so happy. And when I baptized her, mercy me, you talk about joy in a person's life. She was so happy. And for the 2 years that she lived after that, she was the most joyous person I think I'd seen, witnessing to everybody, came to church every Sabbath for every prayer meeting. There was an actual transformation in the life of these people. And I praise God for that. But you know, that's the purpose of witnessing, friends. We don't have, and you've heard me say it before, we don't have to stand at the Walmart with a Bible thumping people as they come in and out. There's a way for us to witness that God wants us to be successful at. And you see in the scriptures here that Jesus went from town to village, and he was preaching, teaching. He was sharing the gospel of the kingdom, and he was doing practical ministry with the folks. He was healing their sicknesses and hitting every disease among the people. He was doing something that touched the daily life of the people that he met. You look in verse number 37, it says that the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few. I don't care what church you're in, whether you've got 5 members in your church or 5,000. It's usually a percentage of people that actually get involved in the ministry of the church. Somewhere between 10 to 20% of the congregation does something in the church. And what happens is those 10 or 20% get burned out because they carry the load for the whole church. Well, 80% of the people sit back and enjoy all the blessings that the 10 to 20% provide for them. That doesn't sound like a good combination to me. I've tried to think about what is it that would stimulate people to get them encouraged to become part of the ministry of the church. And the only thing I can come up with is what was used in the New Testament church, an indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what's needed in our church today more than anything else. All of Christendom, I don't care what denomination a person comes from, what we need as God's people today is the presence of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Can you agree with that? Amen. That's what we need, His power, leading us, guiding us, giving us that holy boldness to be able to stand up for Jesus and give a word in due season for Jesus Christ. Jesus saw that the harvest was plenty everywhere he looked. And sometimes we can think, well, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. Nobody's interested in this message. Everybody's going to turn it down. Everybody's got the church already. Well, that's probably true in some state, in some situations. But that's not true in every situation. We had just a couple of weeks ago, I think we had about 44 Bible studies. I think we probably have over 25 now, isn't that right, Tom? Somewhere around there, 20, 25, that we're doing in the community. There's a way of witnessing that all of us could be a part of. And I know the Lord wants us to reach out. There's people who want to know about Jesus. There are people out in the world, in Shelbyville, that see that the world is changing. Things are happening, drastic things around the world, and even in our own communities, they're happening. A few months ago, Lynn and I were asleep. 2:15 in the morning, a woman was pounding on our door, screaming outside. I heard it, I woke up, and I thought Linda was playing something, a video or something on her phone. She was asleep too. We didn't know what it was. So we got up, I looked out the window, I couldn't see anybody, but the person was screaming and knocking on the door and didn't get an answer, so they went around to the other door, pounding and screaming. We didn't go outside to see who they were. We locked our bedroom door. We called the sheriff. And the sheriff came out and found the lady and found out that she said that she had been kicked out of her car by 3 or 4 other people and they took off in her car. And the county sheriff, the deputy said he didn't buy that because that's the method they use in Indianapolis. they send a woman beating on your door, and as soon as you open the door, three or four people come rushing into your house. You never know when things are going to happen. This world we live in is crazy, and it's getting worse day by day. And if we don't have a connection with Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, friends, you and I are not going to be able to endure what's coming upon this world. We need to be able to endure to the very end. Isn't that so? That's what Jesus counsels us on, to be connected with him so that we can endure what's happening all around this world. We need to, in verse 38, it says, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What about you? Are you want to be considered as one of the laborers for Jesus Christ? I praise God that we have so many people involved in Bible studies here, that we have active members of the church witnessing for Jesus. It's a great blessing, not only for the cause of God, but it's a personal blessing to each one of us to be able to share our faith with somebody else. I want to read something to you, how Jesus took his ministry serious. And you look in verse 35, you already see how he was conducting his personal ministry to people. In a ministry of healing, page 143, it says, the world today needs what it needed 1900 years ago, a revelation of Christ. A great work of reform is demanded, and it is only through the grace of Christ that the work of restoration, physical, mental, and spiritual, can be accomplished. Christ's method alone will give us true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them, he ministered to their needs, and he won their confidence. And then he bade them, follow me. The poor are to be relieved, the sick cared for, the sorrowing and the bereaved comforted, the ignorant instructed, the inexperienced counseled. We are to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. It is a personal ministry that God has called you and I to. He calls for us to reach out to people around us who need the comfort of God's Holy Spirit. We need to find others. We need to find out what their burdens are, and we need to do all that we can to lift up that burden, just like Jesus did. And then after we have gained their confidence, we're to bid them to follow Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow after Christ. And so that's what we're to do with everybody that we meet, to encourage them to follow us as we follow after Jesus Christ. So why do we witness? Do we witness because we're hoping that we'll get more people in the church? They'll pay more money? I had a brother who once said to me years ago, and I was witnessing to him as a pastor, and he says, I don't go to church because all they want to do is stick their hand in my pocket. And then he added some other things that I don't want to say here today, but he had a really bad impression about what happens at church. And sometimes people think that the only reason we want people to come to church is so they can pay more money. Yeah, it is true that we have to have money to do all the ministry that we provide. We have to keep the lights on and the heat in the church and air conditioning in the summer. That takes money. That doesn't come dropping out of heaven down to us. God gives it to you and I, and we faithfully help keep the ministry functioning in this church. That's what God has called us to do. But why do we witness? Was it to satisfy our egos? Is it to satisfy a conscience that, well, maybe I ought to do something because this is what Jesus wants me to do? Well, or is it because Jesus commands his followers to go and make disciples, and because we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and we want to be like him? In the Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students on page 554, it says this, confessing Christ in conversation is more effective witnessing than many sermons. You got the point? You're the best evangelist in the world. You didn't know that, did you? You're more effective at reaching out to people, your friends, your family, people you work with, people you meet, than I am. Now, you think that I'm supposed to be the professional, right? Actually, you're better suited for that than I am. When I come into a crowd of people that's happy and joyful as soon as I come in and they find out I'm a pastor, guess what's happened? The conversation stops and the crowd disperses. And my chance of witnessing goes down to zero. But they don't do that to you. You have an open door to your friends, to your family, to people you work with that I could never have. You have an opportunity to share Jesus in your conversation that's more effective than any sermon that can be preached from the pulpit. You got that? You're the best evangelist that could ever do it. And God has gifted you to do that. In the scriptures, God is telling us to follow after him. This ministry that you and I have signed up for is an every member ministry. It's not just for some people, not just for the pastor and the elders and the board members. It's for everybody. All of us are invited to give a witness for Jesus wherever we're at with whoever we meet when the opportunity is right. To give a word in due season. Now, sometimes we kind of force the issue and we don't get much response because we've used the wrong method. We have to do like Jesus did. We have to be able to make friends with people, find out what their burdens are, lift up their burdens and help them as much as we possibly can. And when we have gained their friendship and confidence, then we can say to them about Jesus and we can come follow me as I follow after Christ. You see, there's a method. And oftentimes we put the cart before the horse and we don't get the response and the success that we want in our witnessing. It takes time. It's not an instant. It doesn't happen just one time. It is a process of witnessing for Christ that brings success. But if we don't have the Holy Spirit living in our life, guess what our success will be like? Zero. We need to be praying that the Holy Spirit will pour out his Spirit upon us, that this latter rain that is to fall on God's people in these last days will fall upon us, and that we could be powerfully used by God to witness to the people around us. Every one of us have been gifted to do the work. Listen, friends, I've had in my ministry people saying, oh, pastor, I've got this person that you need to call, or I got this person that wants to do Bible study, and I'll give you their name. You know, I was crazy enough to do that in my early years of ministry. People would tell me that I've got this person that wants to do Bible studies, and I just take it up and go, and I just work myself to death. I don't do that anymore. My zeal's lagging just a little bit, but I have a lot more wisdom today than I did back then 30 years ago. And I can tell you what, God has not gifted you spiritually to find work for me. That's not why he's gifted you. I guarantee it. God has gifted you so that you could step out in faith and do the work he's gifted you to do. And when he puts somebody in your path, that's not an opportunity for you to give that to the pastor or an elder or a church member. It's for time for you to be praying and following up with God's leading on witnessing to someone else. When you step out in faith to follow Jesus, he is going to give you everything that you need. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he says that he has all power in heaven given to him, friends, and he gives it to us so that we can be a loud voice for him and help further his kingdom. God wants us to witness for him. You think about the story in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. We see the story there where John is witnessing about Jesus and calls him the Lamb of God. The people believed what he was saying. And then John's disciples began to follow Jesus. And then there's Andrew, Simon's brother. And then you see in verses 41 and 42 of that chapter that Andrew goes to Simon Peter, his brother, and he tells him about Jesus, and he brought him to Jesus to get the experience of Christ. And it was there that Jesus changed his name to Cephas. Then you see in John chapter 1 and verse 43 that the next day Jesus found Philip in Galilee, and Jesus said to him, follow me. And so he followed him. In verse 44 and 5, then Philip found Nathanael, and he witnessed to him. You see, there's a process that's going on here. The people are sharing their faith with someone else, and they're being impacted by that kind of faith. Nathanael was a skeptic. You see that in chapter 1, verse 46 through 48. And then Nathanael confesses to Jesus that he is the Son of God, the King of Israel. Thomas himself, one of the disciples, was an unbelieving disciple. You read that in John chapter 20, verses 25 through 27. Then he confesses that Jesus is Lord and God in verses 28 and 29. There will always be skeptics and unbelievers. There's always going to be people who don't step out in faith because they don't believe that God has given them. I have been told so many times in my ministry that people have said to me, Pastor, I don't know if I have any gifts. I don't know what my gifts are. Well, we've done spiritual gifts in the churches so that people can find out where their gifts, strengths are at, so that they can follow up on that and use them wisely. But, you know, if you don't know, if you're confused about that, this is a good little idea. Just pray that the Holy Spirit will impress upon your heart what it is that He wants you to do. If you have an interest in something, use that interest as an idea for reaching out to people who have a similar interest. Yeah, that's called friendship evangelism. You've heard of that, right? And that's what God wants us to do, to be looking for somebody else who wants to know Jesus. We need to find people and follow the method that Jesus used in His own ministry of witnessing to other people. If it seems important to you, friends, this is my counsel. Do it. That's as easy as it can get. If it's important to you, don't give it off to somebody else. Don't think that somebody else is going to pick up the burden and carry it on. If it's important to you, then do it. Take care of it. Make it work. Pray about it and ask God to give you everything you need. You see, the reason that you feel that you don't have the gifts to do something is because you're not doing something. You got the point? It is when we step out in faith that God empowers us with His Spirit to do what He asks us to do. But when we don't do that, if we don't utilize the gifts, if we don't step out in faith, God doesn't give us something that we don't use. And if you don't use what God has given you, guess what happens to it? He'll take it back. He's not going to have His gifts wasted. He wants us to do something for Him. And that's why He has brought us into the ministry, so that we could be a living voice for the transformation that God's Holy Spirit works in the life of every Christian. We're the best witness that God can get. My job is to help educate you, to inform you, to help supply you with all the needs that you have for witnessing. My job is not to be guided by you into what you want me to do next. That's not what God has called for me to do. I cannot do your work and my work too. I don't have the time or the energy for that. What you need to do is start praying for the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit, that He would empower this whole church to stand up, rise up, and do something for Jesus. To give a witness in due season, to talk to people when the opportunity is right about what Jesus has done in your life. He has called every one of us to be a witness for Him. I want to encourage you to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Witness for Him. This witnessing will be successful and fulfilling when you follow Jesus like He wants you to. Years ago, somebody sent me a letter. And in that letter was just an 8x11 sheet of paper. There was a picture of Jesus standing in a garden with somebody in a suit kneeling down holding on to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, friends, that you start every day doing exactly that. Kneeling down before Christ and holding on to Him. Because there's no other safety. There's no other security. There's no other success in life for us unless we're holding on to Jesus. And I want to encourage you today to follow the method that Jesus has given to every one of us to be a witness for Him. Pray with me if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, that You would give us Your Holy Spirit and that we would use the gifts wisely that You have given to each one of us. Put people in our path that we could share the love of Christ with. And I pray, Father, that we would be successful not for our own satisfaction, but so that we could further Your kingdom and that someday soon we could go home to heaven with You. Forgive us for times when we've been a little slow at catching on to the message, a little slow at doing what You've asked us to do. And I pray, Father, that You would continue to be patient with us, forgiving us for times when we fall short of Your glory, and that we would be used by You in this future time to speak to people about You and Your soon return. Bless us, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.